Byways, the monthly Christian audio magazine. Here's your host, Highway Minister, Wyatt Kennedy.
Greetings in Jesus, and welcome to this Volume 23, November 2005 edition of Highways and Byways. As always, I am just delighted that a copy of this CD has found its way into your CD player. This month sees the return of most of our regular segments. If you missed the October CD, then you missed a special independent music artist celebration. If you'd like a copy of that special music edition, use the contact information on the front of the CD and request Volume 23. Or you can refer to it by the month, October 2005. I'll send it out to you free, no strings attached, as they say. Now, when you do contact us, please remember to provide a complete mailing address. And since you're contacting us, let us know what you think of Highways and Byways. Leave a spiritual question or a suggestion for a topical study that you'd like to hear. Or leave a prayer concern that you have on your heart. We'll be honored to exercise faith along with you to see that God provides His solution to your heart's concern. So again, we're going to return to our regular format here in November, which includes the evolution versus creation debate, gospel humor segments, the word on the street, road sign segment, and some end time reports from yours truly. But there's still a lot of excellent music from unsigned indie artists from all over the country. Their music gets sandwiched in between all of the different segments that make up this monthly audio magazine. Before I forget, there's going to be an early release of the December edition. I want to tell all of our subscribers and regular listeners, this is a modified version of Volume 12, the Christmas special from 2004. Now, if you make a suggestion for a topical study, we're going to send out a CD to you for whatever month we add it to the lineup. That way you'll be sure to hear it, even if you can't get back to the Petro truck stop in Milton, PA, or whatever hotel room you may have come across this CD in. These are the two primary ways that we get Highways and Byways out, and we give away as many as we're able to give each month. We do have a growing list of monthly subscribers who get each and every Highways and Byways sent right to their address. I'll talk a little bit more about how you can get Highways and Byways sent to you later on. But I should remind our subscribers that December's coming quickly, and if you want to renew for next year, just contact us. Let us know that you're still enjoying what we're trying to do here with this outreach. Oh, I almost forgot. If you notice that there are no introductions for the songs that I'll be spinning this month, I'll announce them all at the closing segment and give them their credits at that time. And as always, you can find the independent artists that we play from our website, www.highwaymag.com. That's also on the front of the CD, so check it out later. By the way, you can send us a note from the website, too. Hey, speaking of music, I'm going to spin our first song of the month now and then let things take their natural course as we celebrate Church Out of the Box. Once again, welcome to Highways and Byways, my friend. I pray that you find our efforts to be a blessing to you.
a bridge that I must cross. Through the fires of this world, to find my way back from the lost. Life born through grace, life lived in love. Knows no end, a love that never parts. You have been there through the ages. You have been there from the start. You have called me with a purpose. Matter of the heart, life born through grace, life lived in love, free to receive His strength from above. It's written in the stars, it's written on the heart, a love that knows no end.
Jackson's injured. Myers, grab your Hamlin and take Jackson's place.
What? You want me to play?
Well, you're on this team, aren't you?
Yeah, but he's a defensive tackler.
Right. That's a position we need filled.
Ever notice in the average church, only a handful of people keep things going?
Coach, if I play, I'll scuff my helmet and have to wash my jersey.
Well, why do you think you were given those things? To warm the bench?
But I might get hurt. Look what they did to Jackson.
God has given each believer talents and abilities to be used to build His church and glorify Him.
Coach, it's been a long time since I played. I don't think I'd be very good at it.
Myers, you've been in training long enough. You'll do fine.
What about Roberts? Oh, he's a much better player than I am. Why don't you send him in?
Roberts is on offense and he needs a rest. Now get in there.
God has something for you to do. If you're not doing it, who's covering for you?
I know. Why don't I really cheer the team from the bench?
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-52-FUNNY at lifelinepro.com.
Ken Ham and the folks over at Answers in Genesis are a regular part of Highways and Byways most every month. Ken challenges us to use our brains, along with the Bible, in order to understand not only how unrealistic the whole evolutionary claim concerning the origins of life are, he also takes time to show us through that same Bible that the account of creation by God works quite well side by side with science when we start from a fair playing field. But we won't be hearing directly from Ken Ham this month, and it's all Danny Smith's fault. But that's a good thing, you see. Danny, also known by the CB handle Storyteller, called into the voicemail last month and submitted a question about dinosaurs and humans living together. And what an excellent question it is. Now, I had every intention of playing his question in its original form, straight from him to your ears. However, in the process of our recent move, all of our voicemail archives were lost. So I want to point out right away, Danny loves the Lord. He's a monthly subscriber and therefore a sponsor of Highways and Byways. And I know that he asked this question not due to a lack of faith on his part, but rather because it's a fair question that really stirs the pot up a bit. You know, as Christians, we should all be able to give an answer to these kind of things. When we begin to talk with others about God's creation of the world and the truth of a young earth as opposed to millions of years that secular science and evolutionists want to hold on to. Okay, that's a lot of introduction for a question, but well worth it to set the stage. The question went something like this. If dinosaurs and humans lived together at the same time on Earth, why don't we find any human fossils buried in with the dinosaurs in the layers of the Earth? Or strata, if you please. Well, this question is a thoughtful question, and as I said, a very good one. You see, the notion that secular science and evolutionists have held to claim that dinosaurs and people couldn't have lived together because we don't find them fossilized together in the same layers of the earth. Well, first, let's start off with the Lord's explanation, as it appears in Genesis 6, verse 7. He said, "I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth." Now, the Hebrew word in this passage for destroy is actually makal, which means to blot out or obliterate, as some translations correctly render it. The old adage, "God said it, I believe it, and that settles it," works just fine for those who accept the inspired word of God. In a paraphrased form then, he said, "Don't bother looking, you're not going to find them where you think they should be." Now, there are no conclusive proofs of human and dinosaur fossils found in the same place. There are some situations that lend themselves to this possibility. I won't go into the arguments for and against these examples because it wouldn't be the best use of our time in this segment in pursuit of a scientific or logic kind of answer to the question that's been posed here. But the lack of human and dinosaur bones being found together in the same layers of strata makes me look for what other things might be missing. Things that one would expect to find in the same layers as the dinosaurs, like the presence and evidence of the food that they ate while they were on Earth. Now, I'm not a scientist, paleontologist, geologist, or scholar, but if we use the same secular scientific logic, then the same strata that we find dinosaurs in would also contain massive, and I do mean massive, quantities of vegetation. Many of the findings lack even an indication of vegetation. So what, you say? Well, just to make the point in short order here, based upon the size of a fossilized adult dinosaur, such as the Apatosaurus, it would need over 3 tons of vegetation per day. Yep, I said 3 tons of vegetation per day in order to be a reasonably healthy fellow. Problem is, there's no indication of significant vegetation in many of these dinosaur-bearing strata. In other words, we can find buried dinosaurs, but we don't find complete buried ecosystems, or proof of a complete age of the dinosaurs, as it were, in any one location. So where is the food that they were eating? Well, the answer to this provides us with the answer to why we don't see fossilized humans buried with fossilized dinosaurs, and it equips us with the reason that we do not find a perfect chronological order of former life in subsequent layers of the earth. Now, I'd like to answer the question by asking you to use your imagination, just to picture the things I'm going to describe to you. Better yet, imagine yourself doing the following. You're at a large body of water. It's very turbulent. Big rainstorm and all that. There's a few logs and other debris floating around in the water. First, you throw in a few shellfish, clams, mussels, and what have you. You throw in some plant vegetation. Throw in a dog and a cat, a human, a cow, and throw in a big dinosaur. Now begin to imagine what each of these things would do as you threw them into the water. The shellfish are going to sink to the bottom where they normally dwell anyway. They're not a very mobile type of a creature. The plants, or vegetation, is carried away wherever the current takes it. Some separates and sinks while other parts float a bit longer. The dog and the cat, well, they begin to do the doggy paddle and kitty paddle respectively. Now, the dinosaur tries to swim, but he loses out in short order because, well, he's really big and really heavy, And swimming is something that he's never had to do before. So, before long, the dinosaur is sinking like the shellfish did. The cow may last a bit longer, but he's going to sink soon, too. Let's see. What does that leave? Oh, yes, the human that you threw in. Well, by now, he did a little swimming towards one of those logs that were floating in the water, you see. Our human will cling to this log for perhaps several days and ultimately die. Now, I'm sorry to be a bit crude here, but he's going to bloat and float. He's going to become easy food for scavenging fish and birds, leaving little evidence of the existence of a human in very little time at all. Even the bones will decompose rather quickly in these circumstances. You see, the more mobile, intelligent, resourceful, and fit animals would naturally survive longer. This would put them at a different location as the water currents carried them and as they died and sank at different times. As a rule, a human's not going to sink at the same time that a dinosaur would. And as the flood waters increased, both from the fountains of the deep, as Genesis tells us, and from the rain falling from above, mobile land animals would seek higher ground until their higher ground ran out due to rising waters. You know, to tell you the truth, I'd have a much more difficult time reasoning out how humans and dinosaurs could be found together in light of these few simple points that we've just touched on. The fact is, dinosaurs were, in general, covered over rather quickly in a rush of water, mud, and stones. These form the various layers or strata that geologists have studied for centuries. What the Bible tells us took place is a much more believable scenario than the evolutionary notions that secular science wants us to accept hook, line, and sinker. Now, much of what I'm saying here is logic based upon laws of nature. I make no excuse for this, but I do want to point out again that God actually covered this question in Genesis 6, verse 7. When God pronounced judgment on the world, he said, "I will blot out man whom I've created from the face of the earth." So for the one who takes God at his word, we understand why there are no fossilized humans beside dinosaurs. But for those who reject God's word as literal and infallible, one might choose to answer the question, why don't we find human and dinosaur fossils together? By simply replying, because dinosaurs sink really fast.
Each time that I cry, you will always be my comforting father.
have yet another update in the pestilence department concerning the avian bird flu. And while I could add it to the end time updates for this month, I'm not going to. This bird flu has now caught the attention of the entire world, including our own president. And after many months, finally, the mainstream media has started paying much attention as well. But my focus here at Highways and Byways has much less to do with attempting to identify the next big worldwide epidemic of disease or pestilence, and far more to do with stirring up our hearts and our minds to the reality of the words of Christ on this whole matter of end times. This point can easily be lost in a focus of what is happening with the hottest news stories, and I could easily be drawn into keeping our focus in this one area if I were to lose sight of the real point of these end time reports. As humans, we all make the mistake of thinking in the only dimension we're accustomed to thinking in, and the only time frame that we think in is the one that we use to measure and organize our lives with. God is not limited to our dimension, and He's not limited to our concept and measurement of time periods. With those two facts in mind, we will do well to realize that the groaning of this world at present, with huge earthquakes in Asia, mudslides killing people in South America, deadly hurricanes to our south, floods in the New England states, and a tsunami thrown in last year, with all of these heading the list on the nature side of birthing pains preceding the return of Christ, and an ever-growing global war with the people who think that their Allah is God instead of Jesus. All of this tells us that the stage is being set for a growing series of calamities and conflict that will ultimately plunge us into a one-world system, just to cope with all of the insanity. I say to you that all of these things that I've just mentioned are only the tip of the iceberg. I have said this before. I'll repeat it in the future. It is my heartfelt belief that the vials of wrath that we see being poured out upon the world in the book of Revelation may not be the kind of effects that a person wakes up to overnight, and some of the vials of wrath may have been tipped over already. My friends, there's a new level of interest all over the world concerning end times and Bible prophecies. People are asking questions, and they're ready for answers. We should be ready to speak to them about the birthing pains that Jesus spoke of. We also need to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that rests inside of us concerning Jesus and His return. When is He coming? Maybe not tomorrow. This I readily admit. On the other hand, maybe it will be tomorrow. This I readily accept.
Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him, asked him to show them a sign from heaven. But he answered them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the times."
Corkscrew, and this is my brother Jay.
We're the Corkscrew Brothers.
Nice to meet you. I'm Mr. Grayson. Welcome to Personal Evaluation. Please take a seat.
Hey, these are nice.
Yeah.
Come on,
what are you doing? What are you doing?
We're gonna take them on down to the pickup.
No. I mean sit down. I mean, sit down in the seat. Put it down, Mr. Corkscrew. Put it down.
Oh, well, there you go. All right, dude. Just make up your mind there.
God, what a view. Oh, you got ants, you know.
Those are people. We're on the 12th floor, Mr. Corkscrew.
Oh, dude, good thing I didn't spray.
Yeah.
Well, that was lucky, Jake.
Okay, now, what kind of testing are you two interested in?
Well, sir, me and Jake here, we got ourselves a little problem.
Yeah.
people think we're dumb.
Dumb?
Well, stupid.
Yes, I know what the word means, thank you.
You're welcome.
So you want to be tested to see that you really are.
Gosh, he's pretty smart.
Yeah. Boy, he's got to be. I mean, he's got his own office.
Okay, we're running a little short on time. I'd like to begin. Now, I have a series of questions here that will help us determine your level of intelligence, you know, both individually and collectively.
Collectively? Why would we need to collect anything?
Yeah, unless we was scatterbrained or something.
Shall we begin? Huh, please? All right, now, this first question is for you, Carl.
Okay,
now, buddy. Carl, are you ready, Carl?
Yes, sir.
All right, now.
Fire away!
Okay, here we go. Carl, if you were stranded on a deserted island.
Yes, sir.
What would you do first? A, build a hut.
A hut.
B, build a boat.
A boat.
C, build a fire.
A fire. Gee, I guess I'd just watch TV.
No, that's not one of the choices, Mr.
Well, could
Twixton.
We make it one?
No, you don't have a television set.
We did it before we came here, let you know something we don't know.
Yeah!
No, I mean, you don't have one on the island.
Oh, well, then I'd borrow one.
No, there's no one else on the island.
Well, then I'd just take it. You know,
of course, he'd give it back if they came home.
Oh, yes,
okay,
sir.
Stop.
I wouldn't keep it.
I know. Next question for you, Jake.
Oh, gosh, now, thank you.
Jake, now, let's... Jake, I give you... 5 cookies. Now, if I give you these 5...
What kind?
What?
What kind of cookies?
I don't know. This is all hypothetical.
Can I have butterscotch?
No, it doesn't matter what kind, Mr.
It's easier
Quirky.
For you to say I'm the one's got to
okay,
eat them.
Okay, I give you 5 butterscotch cookies. Now, I give you these 5
Could
cookies.
I have 6?
What?
6. We'll give one to Carl.
No.
Thanks a lot, buddy. Could you make my chocolate chip
there,
Mr.
question Carson? Here says 5. It says 5.
He's probably keeping the last one for himself.
Yeah. Okay. I give you a 6 cookies, 5 butterscotch, 1 chocolate
yeah.
chip.
Yeah.
Very good.
No. I give you these 5 cookies. I take
6.
6. That's cookies. Okay. 6 cookies. I give. I take. We have to be quiet, Mr. Corkscrew.
Yes,
now,
sir.
This is for Jake. Now, Jake, I give you these 6 cookies. I take 3 back. How many do you have left?
6.
No. I said I take 3 back.
No, you don't.
When it comes to cookies, Jake here's pretty protective.
All right. Now, let's just go on to the next question, please.
What about the cookies?
Oh, your cookies are safe with me, Jake. I've got them right here. Now, Carl, let's pretend you only have 1 day to live.
Oh!
What are you doing?
We're pretending.
How'd we do?
Yeah, you did great.
Now, yeah!
It doesn't count for the test, so let's just go on, Carl. Now, you have 1 day to live. What do you do? A, write a will. B, throw a party. Or C, plant a tree.
D, prepare to meet my maker.
That's not one of the choices. Will you stick to the test?
It's the only choice if you ask me.
Yeah, let's...
Don't you believe in God?
No, I don't believe in God.
Well, then where'd everything come from?
Well, believe me, you two are much too ignorant to understand these important, complex matters.
Oh, come on! Hey, give us a chance!
All right, I'll give you a chance. You see, long ago, there was this Big Bang.
Big Bang. We heard all about that on David Hartman.
Sure. There's a Big Bang, and a bunch of squiggly things in the lake turned into fish. Then one day, the fish walked out of the lake and grew hair. Then they shaved off the hair and became truck drivers. That about it?
Pretty much.
I hope there ain't another Big Bang, Jake. Or we could turn into office furniture.
Okay, got it. Well, we're just going to go on to this last question. It's for you, Jake. Jake, okay. Now, this last question's for you. Now, listen now, Jake. You're standing in front of a table, and on the table is a book of matches and a candle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, suddenly, the lights go out, and someone yells, "This is a power failure." What do you do?
I'd see if the guy who yelled was the guy that stole our TV set.
No, it stole your television set!
Well, then how come I couldn't watch it on the island?
Wait a minute. This is a trick question.
How could there be a power failure on an island?
Yeah!
Yeah, that's
we
it,
got
Jake.
It. You got it! I've never seen anyone like you two. You guys are imbeciles.
We are!
You total idiots!
Oh, how? Boy, they get those test scores back quick, don't they, Jason?
Sure do.
Okay, that's it. Out! Out! Get out of this! Okay. Out of the office! I never want to see you guys again! Out!
Nice meeting you.
Miss Tweed, don't let him in here anymore, either.
Oh, excuse me. What about our cookies?
I can't take it! I can't take it! I'm jumping!
Gosh. Gee. Betty believes in God now.
Hey, wait a minute.
He's got our cookies!
Come on, Jake!
They say he made a living with a hammer and some wood. He served a greater purpose, but that carpenter was good. But I have another story written on the pages of my soul. I think Jesus was a locksmith, and here's why I say it so. 'Cause he made for me a key shaped like a cross. He set me free, releasing all the weight and chains and pain. I said he made for me a key shaped like a cross. He set me free, releasing all the weight and chains and pain that sin comes with. He is my locksmith. Jesus is my locksmith. He's a father to the orphan and a shelter from the storm. And he's been called the great physician and the risen door. Yeah, 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 he's everything to everybody, maker of the land and of the sea. I know his best creation was when he made that special key. 'Cause he made for me a key shaped like a cross. He set me free, releasing all the weight and chains and pain. I said he made for me a key shaped like a cross. He set me free, releasing all the weight and chains and pain that sin comes with. He is my locksmith. Jesus is my locksmith. Prince of Peace, Son of Man, Lamb of God and Holy One. He's the Alpha and Omega, Master of all trades and Jack of none. He's everything to everybody, maker of the land and of the sea. But I know his best creation was when he made that special key for you and me to set us free. 'Cause he made for me a key shaped like a cross. He set me free, releasing all the weight and chains and pain. I said he made for me a key shaped like a cross. He set me free, releasing all the weight and chains and pain that sin comes with. He is my locksmith. Yeah, Jesus is my locksmith.
You know, when we think of end times, We may be inclined to think of wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes, disease, and so forth, since these are the things we're familiar with that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 24. They get the most focus and attention. I regularly bring update reports in these and other categories most every month on this Highways and Byways audio magazine. But Jesus also said this in verse 14 of Matthew 24, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." So, since the gospel will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come, a gospel update would fit in quite well along with the rest of the categories in our end time updates. Well, here's a few ways that people are getting the Word of God out in the marketplace. The SMS, or Short Messaging Service Bible, has launched in Australia. The Bible's been translated into a text message speak in Australia to allow its lessons to be delivered more easily. Michael Chant of the Bible Society in Australia says the entire 31,173 verses can now be downloaded for free and sent by mobile phone. The Bible Society in Australia Scripture Director George Rodriguez said only the spelling of the Bible in text messaging word abbreviations that regular text messengers understand had been changed for the project, not the language. It's a logical step, he said. Our aim at the Bible Society is to get the Bible out there among the people, and this is a very effective way of doing it. His son Michael spent 6 weeks translating the Bible into text messages. Now, there have been several attempts to make the Bible more accessible in recent years, including another Australian version, which referred to the Virgin Mary as a, quote, "pretty special Sheila," and one launched in the United Kingdom a few weeks ago, which its author claims can be read in less than 2 hours. Then there's yet another British version that we enjoy running here on Highways and Byways fairly often, called The Word on the Street. It's a sort of audio drama version of the Bible, which is done in a British street level kind of language. Hey, check this out. Coffee drinkers can get a spiritual pick-me-up right along with their morning coffee lift. In the spring, Starbucks begins putting a God-filled quote from the Reverend Rick Warren, author of The Purpose-Driven Life, right on its cups. Reverend Warren says the idea of a grand pitch for God as creator came to him after seeing a Starbucks quote on evolution from paleontologist Louise Leakey. Since Starbucks solicited customer contributions for 2006, Warren sent his in. Starbucks has confirmed that it would be used along with the other people's quotes and philosophical sayings. The cups carry a disclaimer, of course, that says the opinions do not necessarily reflect the views of Starbucks. But there are a few companies that plant clues to Christianity in their wrappings, music, or signs because the owners are believers. Alaska Airlines has put baseball card-sized prayer cards on their hot meal trays for 30 years. A California-based fast food chain, In-N-Out Burger, has included tiny notations for Bible verses in some of its burger and drink packaging. Then there's Don Chang, the deeply religious founder of clothing chains Forever 21 and 21. He noticed the burger chains witnessed through their business, and 5 years ago, he followed suit by stamping the Bible book chapter and verse notation of John 3:16. When someone folds up or looks on the bottom of his store shopping bags, this is what they see. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know, just as God's Holy Spirit inspired the Apostle Paul to write in 1 Corinthians 9:22, we all need to be willing to become all things to all people in order that we might win some to the grace, love, and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bottom line, we need to be able to become more creative with the same technology and in the same marketplace that the enemy can use in this modern world. Every one of us can find a way to get the message of the cross out to a lost and dying world, just using the gifts and skills that God has already given you. And if you can't get a handle on what your gifts are, how to use them, how to go about it, try empowering yourself with the promise from God Himself as we see it in James 1, verse 5.
But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without any doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed. For let that man not think that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways.
only one brew left to go, and I'm gonna take it right now.
Well, I trust that you've heard something that's blessed you a bit, stirred up your mind and your heart a bit, maybe even made you want to hear a bit more of Highways and Byways. But we still have some things to bring you for this month, and after that, if you still haven't had your fill, you can always contact me through any of the ways found on the front of this CD and let me know that you'd like to have Highways and Byways sent to your address each month. Well, we ask you to prayerfully consider a $3 per month sponsorship subscription, but it is voluntary. So if you find it to be a hardship, just let me know and I'll send you out a copy each month just the same. Now that $3 or $36 per year does much more than just get Highways and Byways sent to you each month. It also sponsors two additional CDs each month that will be given out freely at either the Petro Truck Stop in Milton, PA, or in hotels from Virginia, Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Delaware, and Maryland, which are the states that I travel to on my route each week. These sponsorship subscriptions are how we've been able to grow over the past 2 years. It's my hope and my prayer that 2006 will see several sponsors step up and sponsor even entire truck stops, just like the one that we sponsor in Milton, along with our current subscribers. And remember, that same contact information on the front of this CD is the way that your prayer requests, your Bible or spiritual questions, can be sent in. Maybe you have a word of encouragement for others to be blessed by, or a topical study suggestion. Maybe you just want to say that you're praying for us and the folks that will be picking up their first copy of this Christian audio magazine somewhere out there soon. Well, all right. With that done, let's get back to the rest of this month's Highways and Byways. There's still some more excellent music from our indie artists, another End Times update, and a few other odds and ends, like this.
Welcome to the Choices Hotline. For information on growing closer to God, press 1.
Hmm.
For interesting activities, press 2.
Ooh, tough choice.
For entertaining activities, press 1.
To
learn more about the creator of the universe, press 2.
Nah.
For entertainment found in the home, press 1.
Okay.
To learn why Jesus had to die on the cross,
nah, later.
Press... For TV programming, press 1. To learn about ensuring your place in
heaven... What's on the tube?
For late night TV programming, press 1. For one more opportunity to hear how much God is reaching out to you, please press 2.
Yeah.
For information on the psychic channel, press 1.
Oh.
For programs on discovering the God within you,
ooh,
press 2. For exotic ways to fill the spiritual void in your life.
Wow.
For the wisdom of Dr. Shami and his latest prophecies.
Oh, yeah.
Where are your choices leading you? A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
Thank you.
cheat. I seldom tell lies if I speak. You know it's only to get there on time. Cross every T and dot every I. I pay all my taxes so I don't get fined. I'm a good guy. Yes, I'm a good guy. I'm alright, I'm a good guy. There's room for improvement, but I'm not that bad. I'm alright, I'm a good guy. Just doing the best that I can. Oh, what more could God ask of a man? When I die, I'm sure you'll understand I'm a good guy. I love my family. I don't beat my dog. I've never been guilty of theft or a fraud. I fight to save forests and donate my time. I've given the poor my spare nickel and dime. I'm a good guy. Yes, I'm a good guy. I'm alright, I'm a good guy. If Jesus were here, yeah, we'd get along fine. I'm alright, I'm a good guy. Just doing the best that I can. Oh, what more could God ask of a man? When I die, I'm sure he'll understand I'm a good guy. Not even one. No man can boast of the good he has done. And every man's different, yet all are the same. Each one a nail in this coffin shame. Compared to God's glory, our deeds are all rain. Thank God Jesus died for good guy. Yes, I thank God Jesus died for good guy.
comes another End Times update.
In the continual push for worldwide biometric identification, such as iris and fingerprint scans, an interesting development is taking place in a part of the world that we might not pay any attention to right now. AP writer James Hanna put it this way. They walk up to an ATM and press their thumbs on the screen. Out spits the cash. New York? No. Chicago? No. How about the mountains and jungles of Colombia? Well, it's one of the few places in the world where banks are using fingerprint biometrics, which verify people's identities based on their unique physical characteristics. Scanning fingerprints or irises to verify an ATM customer's identity hasn't caught on here in the United States yet. However, companies that make automated teller machines have found markets for the fingerprint technology in places such as South America, where citizens already use fingerprints for general identification in the ID cards that they have to carry. Diebold Incorporated of North Canton, Ohio, has supplied fingerprint-capable ATMs to a bank in Chile that is using them in a pilot project. Last year, Dayton, Ohio-based NCR Corporation installed 400 of them in Colombia. Now, I find two main points of interest in all of this. First off, we should be aware that mandatory biometric ID cards are already in use in a growing number of countries, with Britain and the United States currently working on versions of a national ID card with biometric information such as your fingerprints and eye recognition built right into the card. Now, Britain is much more open about their intentions. They announced last year that they have a goal of 5 years to have mandatory biometric ID cards for everyone in the nation. And the second point of interest is the fact that these are American companies that are manufacturing and distributing the biometric ATMs. Rest assured, no American company would bother to invest in something that wasn't certain to include the huge number of consumers in this country. These folks know something that you and I don't concerning the inevitable, unstoppable intrusion into our lives with technology. Now, these things are important to be aware of for several reasons, but perhaps the most important is considering how easy it will be to incorporate all of the biometric ID information from anyone and everyone in the world at some point. This is a necessary component of a one-world government system. Well, coming up next, a new look at a story from last year that may just explain how all of our personal information will ultimately be gathered and monitored. Long-time listeners to Highways and Byways may recall the mention of a struggle for control of the World Wide Web, as I reported in one of last year's volumes. Our fair-weather friends in Europe, and in particular the European Union, began stomping their feet and threatening to hold their breath until they got their hands on the controls of the Internet. One could only hope that they would actually have the courage to follow through with it and in the process forget to exhale. They're back, however, nagging and crying over the, quote, right to be involved in the oversight and decision-making processes, unquote. At first, they demanded that full control be shifted to Europe, but with that demand being dismissed last year, they've rephrased things a bit. So, on October 1st of this year, the European Union once again insisted that governments and the private sector must share the responsibility of overseeing the Internet. And that set the stage for a showdown with the United States on the future of Internet control. A senior United States official repeated on Thursday that this country wants to remain the Internet's ultimate authority, and he rejected calls in the United Nations meeting in Geneva for a United Nations body to take over. European Union spokesman Martin Selmayr said a new cooperation model was important because the Internet is a global resource. The European Union is very firm in this position, he added. Well, now, these Geneva talks were the last meetings in preparation for November's World Summit on the Information Society, which will be held in Tunisia. It's going to be interesting to see what the next move in this game of control will be. And by the way, does it bother you at least a little that there's a group out there that calls itself the Information Society? Now, a stalemate over who should serve as principal traffic cop for the internet may very well derail the entire summit of the Information Society. At issue, of course, is who's going to have ultimate authority over the internet's master directories. Now, you may or may not know this, but despite Al Gore's claim at one time to inventing the internet, it was actually the United States which created the internet as a Pentagon project and funded much of its early development. The United States Commerce Department has delegated much of that responsibility to a United States-based private organization with international board members, but the Commerce Department ultimately retains veto power. Now, is it my imagination, or is this a full dose of European arrogance? The United States of America invents it, sets it up, maintains it, and somehow we're supposed to hand it over to somebody else. No, I'm pretty sure it's not my imagination. It really is European arrogance at its unembarrassed worst. Now, it's true that some countries have been frustrated that the United States and the European countries got in on the internet first and gobbled up most of the available addresses. And that left developing nations with a limited supply to share. Well, they also want greater assurances that as they come to rely on the internet for more governmental and other services, that their plans don't get derailed by some future United States policy. You see, policy decisions could at a stroke make all websites ending with a specific suffix essentially unreachable. Other decisions could affect the availability of domain names in non-English characters or ones that are dedicated to special interests, such as pornography, for example. Well, my friends, the reasons that the European Union is giving for wanting to share in the control of the internet go far beyond the simple complaints and concerns that they speak of here. And I confess that I can't imagine all of the individual things that could be affected by a worldwide control of the internet by a socialistic union that has at the heart of its final constitution the removal of any mention or acknowledgement of God. This godless portion of the European Union constitution has been accepted by a majority of countries inside the European Union, but it failed to pass at the objection of only a handful of countries. It was mainly Italy, as I recall. Rest assured, in a one-world government system, special interests and pornography will not be removed from the World Wide Web, but every Christian website, every Bible reference page that is now available would come under attack, and at the stroke of a key, these would be the websites that vanish. They'll be categorized as offensive religious material and banned under the rule of a godless one-world government. There's no doubt that our planet is heading into this one-world rule direction, and Europe has every plan and intention to be at the seat of control when it's finally birthed. Of course, there are huge economical interests to control, as well as people tracking and monitoring capabilities that are at the front of the pack for the European Union. But along with those concerns, in the long run, will be the eventual removal of those offensive religious materials.
What are the nations raised? Chains in pieces, cast away the cords that bind us. And he who sits in heaven laughs, and he will answer in his wrath. And distress them in his anger. Let us
put their trust in Him. Blessing all those who put their trust in Him. Blessing all those who put their trust in Him. Their trust in
This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, another Christian's works will be tested with fire. As all of the works of his life are burned, his sincere motives will be made evident. Only those works done with Jesus Christ as the foundation will remain. Remember, this is only a test.
Okay, load us back again up there. Joe, can you move over his grip knees a little bit? Do we have the things that he did for his family? Okay, everything in check out there? Church attendants, throw a church attendant to tie some of us up there, will you? Great. Joe, the time that he couldn't give that poor man a ride to the doctor's because he was on his way to the Bible study, that's slipping off there. Can you secure it a little more? Okay, everybody, stand back! Let her go!
Oh, too bad. Not much left.
This has been a test. Had it been the real thing, how much in your life would be remaining? Remember, this was only a test.
If you've stuck with me to this point, you have a pretty good idea of some of the things that I think Church Out of the Box looks like. There's more to it than I could ever describe or define, but I haven't figured out a way to share some of those other things with you in this audio format yet. For a circle of brothers and sisters in our area, Church Out of the Box is also a gathering in our homes, spending time in music of praise and worship to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, prayer and intercession for others that we're aware of who need a miracle in their life. Ministry for those who are among us who need a touch from the Lord, and as the Lord moves, prophetic encouragements and readings from His holy word as folks are moved to share. I am convinced that the day is coming on planet Earth when people find that a return to the New Testament pattern of church, that is, meeting from house to house, home to home, will allow God to move in their lives in a way that has been largely lost in traditional church settings. All of this will allow believers to be equipped with a better ability to work inside the four walls of the traditional church, equipped to help your pastor and your elders reach out to those who need what the church has to offer in Christ Jesus. This is our heartfelt desire, the call of the Holy Spirit that we have responded to in this present age. If this approach to God sounds like the kind of thing that you'd like to see in your home, in your community, we would be honored to assist you in getting off of the ground. If you invite us, we'll find a way to come and help you launch a home fellowship. You can do this, my friend. Pray upon this, and as God leads, contact us and let us know what the Lord is speaking to you. If your church is seeking ways to reach out to folks in your community, we can help in this area as well. Our hearts are for the small to medium-sized fellowships that often get overlooked by mega ministries that are driven by economics. We're not driven by anything except a desire to be a functional part of the body of Christ. Leadership meetings are retreats. Weekend special meetings are a Sunday morning service. If you invite us, we will come. If you already have a home church, we'd love to network with you and share with each other as we continue to fulfill the Great Commission. Well, I need to wrap things up here soon for this month. I am so blessed to be able to put this audio magazine together each and every month, and I invite your prayers for God to increase the effectiveness and purpose of Highways and Byways as we prepare to enter into a third year in January. That reminds me, we have 2 years of archives, back issues of Highways and Byways, and they can be ordered, and you can just have a whole bunch of church out of the box for your travels. Contact me, and I'll let you know how to get them. Now, the special Christmas volume for December will be ready by mid-November, Lord willing. And if you'd like to have one, let me know and I'll get that out to you just for the asking. One more thing. If you decide that you've listened to any copy of Highways and Byways as much as you're going to listen to it, consider leaving it in a driver's lounge somewhere and pray over it as you walk away, asking and believing that God will draw just the right person. Someone who needs a positive message of hope to be the one who picks it up and listens to it. This can be like leaving a Bible tract somewhere, only in audio form. If you happen to be the person who found this CD somewhere, call into the toll-free voicemail number, write to me or email me and tell me where you found it. Let me know what you think. Now may God smile upon everything that you set your heart and hands to do, and especially those things that will bless a stranger out there on the highways and the byways. I pray that I have the privilege of spending time with you again soon in your travels. Credits for our indie artists for the month. Track 2, Matter of the Heart by Crossing Trees. Track 5 was Giver of Life by Two or More. Track 8 brought us The Locksmith by Brad Reynolds. Track 10 was No More Wrong Roads by Dub Shelton. Track 13, Good Guy, Daniel Now. And track 18, The Remnant by Christopher Rames. And as always, we appreciate the contributions from Lifeline Productions and Isaac Airfreight with their wonderful sketches.